All right, so how does it look for Jaden Daniels and company on the field against Cleveland? A Browns defense led, of course, by Myles Garrett. They are very aggressive. They got a lot of blitzes that they'll throw at you. But I think that there's some opportunities after watching them on tape, Logan. Like I do think that there is a possibility, and I can lay this out depending on how this conversation goes. If you don't lay it out, like, I think there's a scenario where Jaden Daniels goes for 300 yards and like has a heck of a day. There's also a situation where it goes all horribly wrong. The swath of outcomes here feels incredibly wide. What do you see when you watch him, though, and how do you think that Cliff starts to think about attacking them?
Yeah, I think you see a defense that was, and you understand why last year they were maybe the most talented defense in football. They have a lot of pieces on the defensive line. Obviously, Myles Garrett, they've got Za'Darius Smith, they've got Obo Okorokwo, they've got Isaiah McGuire, guys that are really good, consistent pass rushers. They've got Alex Wright, a guy they drafted a couple years ago. He's got some pass rush juice inside. And so they are capable of kind of beating you with a four-man rush. You look at the linebackers, you got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the guy from Notre Dame that everyone was super high on. He plays with his hair on fire. Devin Bush, right? Jordan Hicks, that second level of defense is doing a great job, man. They absolutely ripped to the football. Grant Delpit is the free safety, and he's a big, strong, physical guy, kind of in the mold of like a Jeremy Chinn type guy, kind of a box player, but maybe a little bit more athletic, more coverage upside. He wears number 9, Owusu-Koramoah wears number 6, and the way they run to the football is awesome. And you're like, man, this front's good. On first and second down, they struggle a little bit, stopping the run sometimes. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me because Dalvin Tomlinson's one of the best defensive tackles in football at stopping the run, and he flashes quite a bit. But Shelby Harris, their 3 technique, is a little up and down. So, and if you get to the second level on this defense, like Owusu-Koramoah is basically like a safety. Grant Delpit's playing in the box a lot. He is a safety. So they have a hard time. I will say the one thing that really jumps out to you is when they get you in a 2nd and 10, 3rd and 10, watch out, because they are very, very opportunistic in those moments. And what I mean by that is I went and watched all their third downs from the first 4 games, and it's almost like clockwork. It's like 2nd and 12, and who's getting a sack fumble? Myles Garrett. Or, hey, we're playing the Dallas Cowboys, and it's a close ball game, and Myles Garrett forces you up in the pocket, and Owusu-Koramoah blitzes, and the ball's out. They're really, really good in those situations because they create so much pressure. To your point, when you watch them in the back end, they're not as consistent as they were last year, and it's really hurt them. Like Martin Emerson is struggling a little bit. Obviously, Denzel Ward, is doing a really nice job on the other side, but Emerson struggled. He's given up a lot of explosive plays, and so there is opportunity there, but the margin for error is much, much smaller than we saw against Arizona, than we saw against Cincinnati. Cincinnati were like, man, they play really good coverage structures, and they have one good pass rusher. We were talking about Arizona bringing complicated blitzes. Here, there's 4 or 5 talented pass rushers, and they're pretty creative in their blitz schemes. And so if you're not locked in up front and you're in a bad down and distance, they're gonna get you. They've gotten everybody they've played this year at some point. So I look at Washington and I say, that's in some ways that's good because they've been hyper efficient out of staying out of 3rd and longs, right? Jay, we talked about how good Jaden's been at staying out of those situations, picking the right moments to scramble. So there's a lot of really positive things there. And then the other thing is that I would point out is they in these pressures, they like to play a lot of man coverage behind it. Mm-hmm. Do they do that versus Jaden Daniels? Because you watch the Jacksonville game, for example, and Trevor Lawrence scrambles for 40 yards on a pressure where they're very good at containing the passer. There's a little crease and he runs for 40 yards, and Jaden Daniels is going to score a touchdown on that. So this is who they are. Stay out of 3rd and 10. Are they going to shift what they do because of Jaden Daniels' running ability? I think probably a little bit. I think they probably run a little bit more zone pressure, but they're at their core. In those long passing situations, they are there to eat you up and heat up the passer. So the number one thing offensively for me, for Cliff, for Jaden, is how do you stay out of those obvious passing situations? And it is more important this week than any other week they've played so far this season.
No, totally agree. I don't know how much they're going to change because that's not just – like Jim Schwartz is Jim Schwartz. Like, he's, this dude's been around forever, and he is a man blitz, like cover zero, like let's get after it kind of guy. Now, sometimes he obviously, he's got more exotic stuff in his back. Maybe I should give him more credit than that. But like, he's going to be aggressive. The question is how, and maybe he does zone it up a little bit more on the back end. But it's actually the man cover stuff where I think that Jaden could be really dangerous, not as a runner, but as a thrower. In watching some of these pressures and some of these situations, there are a ton of opportunities missed by quarterback inaccuracy. Like, they're like, the back end coverage is not sticky. There's some, like, obviously, like, there's plenty of plays you can find where it's real good. But the way that Jaden has thrown the football this year and his accuracy and just the precision and the timing and everything that he's had, if he hits guys in stride, you're going to have serious yak. You're going to have major explosive plays. And it's not just going to be, you know, down the field. And I will say, I think there's opportunities down the field. You know, some of the stuff that we saw against Cincinnati and some of the stuff that we saw at LSU, frankly, some of these box fades, one-on-one coverage, like Cliff will tighten down the splits, give more room to the sideline, and like, hey, it's one-on-one coverage. We know it. Let's let it rip. Like, some of these throws are the ones that Jaden has lived on. And then you add in the quick game stuff and the accuracy, and I think that there's huge opportunity. That said, he's got to do it with guys in his face and pressure and a muddy pocket and guys around his feet in a way that I don't know that he's had to really do in the NFL. So this is a test. Like, if he can merely do what he's done so far, he could throw for 400 yards. But the test is nowhere close to what he's had so far. The test is going to be much, much more difficult, I think. And I do think that, like, forget guys around, you know, his face, if you will. The how does he do with guys around his feet? That is something that I know is a kind of a question coming into the year. And I think they've done a relatively good job of making sure that he hasn't had to deal with that a whole ton. You know, if he's going to make the throws like he did to Luke last week, where he just backs up and then rips one, you know, off platform, sick. But I think that that is kind of going to be the test and some of the adversity that he faces this week in terms of trying to stay even 80-85% as accurate as he has been, because expecting him to complete 85% of his passes every week is a ludicrous level of expectation.
Yeah, and I think when you look at the team that he struggled most with this year, and again, it's his first game, is Tampa Bay, and they heated him up a little bit. And this is a different, type of pressure, because they have different type of athletes. And I think Tampa Bay did a great job against the Commanders in terms of bringing pressure, and Jane did a really good job of handling it as a runner. How does he handle it as a passer? I think is another kind of step to that. And this is it's a different front. Like, they're pretty good up front. And I think that's something that I'm really curious to see, is because when you look at Arizona, when you look at Cincinnati, there's not a lot of people around them. They did a really good job of keeping clean pockets. And he's shown an ability, and I'm not detracting from this in any way. Like, it's awesome that he can make throws. He can do that from the pocket, but it's a different animal when you're under pressure, because that's something, like you said, they talked about his, when he was being pressured, his completion percentage goes way down. His desire to throw seems to go way down. So what does that look like in this game? And what is Cliff's plan to stop that? Because like I said, they're not great on first and second down. They're okay on first and second down. They play with their hair on fire. They're physical, but there are creases. And when you watch the Giants game, when you watch the Las Vegas game specifically, they had one of the worst EPAs per rushes in the NFL, and they're gashing these 25-yard runs kind of out of nowhere. And when you watch Las Vegas prior to that, it just wasn't on the film. So obviously they're having a little bit of an issue stopping the run as well. But there's so many things with this defense, because I actually like watching their defense. And I know statistically they're not super efficient. I think they're like 17th in points or whatever. I think one of the big reasons that they're having a hard time is because the offense is struggling, and they're on the field way more than I think they want to be. And they're not in game flows that they're accustomed to being in, where they can just rush the passer and get after you. So I think if that's another way, you know, obviously we talk about running the football, quick game, play pass. Screens are going to be huge in this game. They've been very successful against them all season. But if you can get a more positive game flow, again, you're up by 10 and you can kind of hold that lead, you're going to really mitigate what that front does well. And so scoring points early is going to be a big deal. But yeah, it's going to be maybe one of the most interesting tests of the year, I think, for Jaden, just because of they kind of attack what people think he doesn't do well. And that's part of their DNA. And to your point about Schwartz, like, yeah, they're going to play a lot of man. They're going to play a lot of zero, or they have. But he also, because he is this attacking pressure style, they run a lot of zone pressures too. So maybe they kind of lean more into that as opposed to the man stuff to account for what Jaden does with his legs. But I think that's going to be a really interesting chess match. And it's kind of one of those things where for Cliff, it's he knows who Jim Schwartz wants to be. Jim Schwartz knows who Cliff wants to be. How do they adapt to the adaptation of the other person? I think it's going to be really, really compelling in this game also.
Yeah. So let's focus on the thing that might actually be the bigger story then, because like we all talk about Jaden in the past game and all that kind of stuff, but like I think they probably come out and try to run the hell out of the football. Like yeah. I just pulled up the next gen stats preview on NFL Pro, and it gives you just like an overall passing efficiency, overall rushing efficiency, pressure rate, and its advantage, you know, to either side. It's got a 5-star advantage to Washington in the rushing efficiency category.
Yeah.
Washington is number 2 in the NFL in overall rushing efficiency. The Browns defense is 20th in rushing efficiency. So I think I agree. Like, can you, if, hey, you're going to throw a bunch of pressure on second down, well, let's loft the ball over your head screen style and like let's get out. And Austin Ekeler on track to play per Dan Quinn on Wednesday, so that is obviously huge if you can get him back and turn some explosive plays in the screen game. But rushing the football, how would you attack this group, and do you think Washington can continue being as successful as they have, or you know, is there stuff that Cleveland can pretty easily clean up and get fixed?
Yeah, I think the thing about Cleveland that it reminds me a little bit of Cincinnati. And, you know, it's like everyone's like, oh, we got to run the ball versus Cincinnati. And our rushing efficiency in that game specifically outside of the Austin Ekeler big run was not great. They play in a very similar style. They are fast to the football. They're physical. I think they're bigger and more physical up front than any team we've played outside of Tampa Bay this year. So I think what is the wrinkle this week? We talked about versus Arizona, how Cliff and Anthony Lynn did a great job of creating kind of some new stuff for them to look at, some new fits for them to kind of deal with. And I think that's the thing that's super important, because Owusu-Koramoah, the Grant Delpit, Devin Bush, they are fast to the football. They're fast downhill, and they have to be because they're not very big. And we just mentioned Dalvin Tomlinson, like he's excellent. He's excellent. So you got to kind of account for all those different pieces. However, when there is a crease and the linebackers get up to the second level, they're not big linebackers. They're not big guys. So you can move them off the spot and you can create a crease. It's just, what is that wrinkle? Because I don't think if you run, you know, one of our most successful runs or one of the Commanders' most successful runs this year has been the play side guard center pull to the front side of the run. I think that fits in what they really want to do well, which is run fast to the football, box it in, and kind of run sideline to sideline. I think you want to think more attacking downhill, more vertical runs. And obviously you want to sprinkle in both, but I would expect the emphasis to shift a little bit, because when you look at the runs that have been successful, it's been we're going to run right at you and we're going to make you stop. We're going to make you fit these runs and we're going to be a little bit more physical. We're going to negate your athleticism a little bit. So I think that's something I would expect to see. And then the changeup be what you described, like the perimeter runs, the screen games, get outside, and because they're so used to running downhill, you've created space horizontally. And Cliff's done a great job of that, of having a great feel for that, no matter the opponent. I think when you look at New York Giants, for example, obviously Dexter Lawrence is one of the best defensive tackles in football, and they came out with a ton of perimeter screens early, and then they've kind of earned the right later in the game to attack the interior because they had displaced people. So Cliff, I trust him to come up with an excellent plan because he's shown the ability to do that, but I think the wrinkle this week will be really interesting. I would probably attack downhill first and then work the perimeter second. But, you know, Cliff's a smarter guy than me, so can't wait to see what he does.
Well, I think you could also look at some of the misdirection stuff that they've done and be like, can you get those guys running fast the wrong way? And that's
they do that, run, they will run fast the wrong way. They will do that.
So Cliff's been so good with misdirection. It was funny talking to Schlereth because he talked about that first play against Cincinnati where they pulled guys away from the play and then countered back with Ekeler and got a huge gain or 8-yard gain, like basically untouched because guys just ran away from the play. And Mark was like, I pulled that for Cliff because I wanted to ask him. He's like, I don't know what to call this. Like, I've never seen this. What is this? And Mark's, you know, a former offensive lineman that's been, you know, and now an analyst for 20 years, you know, played for Mike Shanahan, you know, knows the run game inside and out, played for Joe Gibbs, knows the run game pretty darn well.
Whoa.
And he's like, I've never seen this and I have no idea what it is and I don't even know what to call it. So there definitely is, when it comes to coming up with wrinkles, you know, Cliff's certainly got a few in his bag. And then obviously the quarterback run game, I think, is the other part of this, right? Like, that's a way you can use aggressiveness against people is like, hey, you get really aggressive, stop in B-Rob. Well, Jaden's going to pull one and get to the outside. So I think that's definitely going to be interesting as well.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how effective the quarterback run game is, because if they play it well, Za'Darius Smith's a beast, you know, as a run defender.
And I also don't want to leave Myles Garrett unblocked on principle.
Yeah, just that's something I would kind of just be like, how, if they are going to do a lot of quarterback run stuff, how do they get to that? Like, what's the plan to make that more efficient? Because like you said, they're athletically on the edge pretty gosh darn good. I mean, Myles Garrett, watching him is very fun and very special, because there's no other athlete like him in the NFL. And there's no other athlete that was playing when I was playing. It's just, it's for the last 20 years, there's been nobody that I've seen that's been, that plays.
You mean there's not a lot of dudes walking around that are 6'5", 295, have 40-inch verticals and 4'4", 40s?
No, there's not a lot of people like that, Craig, surprisingly. And so, on principle, I'm like, I don't know if I want Jaden Daniels trying to zone read that guy, because he could easily play both. So to your point, what's the wrinkle to make? Because that's been a big part of the offense. So what's the wrinkle this week to make sure that Jaden does get his touches in the run game? You know, they've been pretty good about giving him, you know, 4 to 5 design rushes. The rest have been scrambles. But what does that look like this week? I think it's going to be really important. Maybe you run a little bit more kind of GT stuff with him, which you saw versus Tampa Bay, because you're actually blocking that edge player and you can kind of get a jet sweep action away. We'll see. I'm really, again, because of the front, I'm really curious to see how they attack it. Obviously, you're going to do what you do well, which is you're going to run the ball. You're going to run the runs you feel comfortable with. But I do think there will be an interesting wrinkle just to account for some of the athleticism and size that the Cleveland Brown front presents.
Yeah. The other thing that I'll say real quick, I am curious personnel as well, because, you know, if Cleveland's a little smaller on the second level, you know, Washington's done so well out of 13 personnel. Can guys like Bates and Sinnott, and to an extent, Zach Ertz, like, can they be solutions there? Like, they're great blockers who are also really mobile. And so that seems like it would be a pretty good way to maybe combat some of what Cleveland does. Also see, can you get some of those guys off the field in favor of different personnel that you maybe like a little bit better if they go a little heavier? So that's something to watch. Cliff playing the personnel game, which he's played masterfully all year long.